I was actually following like the blogs on that at the time.
Yeah.
Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to the November 20th meeting of the Portland City Council. Would you please call the roll, Carla?
Novick?
Here.
Fritz?
Here.
Fish?
Here.
Saltzman? Hales?
Here. Welcome, everyone. We've got one item that we need to deal with first, and then we'll read the other two. So if you'd read item number 1212, please, Carla.
Yes. Amend city code to create a transportation user fee paid to fund Portland transportation needs, primary transportation maintenance, and safety.
So this was the previous ordinance. We're going to refer this back to the commissioner's office and take up substitute ordinances that are on the calendar today as well. So if there's no objection, I'm going to refer item number 1212 back to Commissioner Novick's office. Okay. Now if you'd read the items before us together, please, Carla, 1213, 1214.
1213, create the Portland Street Fund and establish a non-residential transportation fee to fund Portland street maintenance and transportation safety needs, and 1214, establish a residential transportation income tax to fund Portland street maintenance and transportation safety needs through the Portland Street Fund.
Thank you. So let me open with some comments. First of all, we have a lot of people here to testify today, and we're going to try to make sure that everyone has a chance to get heard. We have a couple of folks that we've invited to give testimony early on in the discussion, and then everyone else will have a chance to speak in turn. We're going to limit testimony, please, to 2 minutes apiece, just because of the number of people involved. If you're a lobbyist, our rules require that you let us know that and let us know who you're here representing. If you're a citizen here to speak, you don't need to give us your address, just give us your name for the record. We have a tradition in this chamber of letting everyone have their say. So if you happen to agree with someone, feel free to give them a thumbs up or wave your hand or otherwise make a nonverbal gesture of support. But in order that people don't feel intimidated and that everybody have a chance to have their say, we ask you not to make vocal demonstrations or applaud or boo or those sorts of things that might be appropriate at a Trailblazers game, but not here. Hopefully we're doing more applauding than booing at the Trailblazers games. So let me set the context a little bit for this discussion, and I know Commissioner Novick and others on the council have some comments as well as we get started. We've been talking about this problem for a long time. 13 years ago, there was a new transportation commissioner in charge here at the city of Portland. His name was Hales, and he was informed by his staff that the city was falling behind in maintaining a basic asset. And we put together a proposal to come up with local revenue to pay for maintaining our streets because Congress hadn't increased the gas tax at that point since 1993. And the state legislature only occasionally acted on transportation funding, and our local resources weren't enough. And the business community, or at least some people in the business community, rattled their saber and said, if you try to pass anything, we'll refer it to the voters and kill it. So we backed off. 7 years later, a new transportation commissioner named Sam Adams took up the same problem. The Congress still hadn't increased the gas tax since 1993. And he was once again told by business interests that if you try to pass anything, we'll refer it to the voters and kill it. And so he backed off. And now here we are again. The legislature has acted occasionally on transportation funding, but not enough for us to keep up in this city. The Congress still hasn't increased the gas tax since 1993, and that means that that 18-cent federal gas tax has a lot less spending power than it had then, and that we're still, as we've been told by both our transportation director, who we'll hear from today, and by the city auditor, even further behind. Now, I know that taxes are never a happy subject. And I know that we're not always happy with how government spends our money. And in fact, we haven't always been happy with how the city of Portland has spent our money. But this is a proposal that will do real good in our community. And a lot of good work has been done over the last few months by people that we'll hear from today, including the Portland Business Alliance and others, who have made what we originally put on the table into a better proposal. And I want to thank those folks for rolling up their sleeves as citizens and helping us as community leaders to try to make an unpopular subject a little less unpopular. And I appreciate the good work that's gone into making these proposals much better. I particularly want to thank Fred Miller, who is our chief administrative officer, who in addition to his other duties took on the role of chairing the committee that worked on the business side of this equation. It was not in his job description that he should add this to his work, but he did, and he did it very well. So, Fred, I think you're here somewhere. I want to say thank you for that. I particularly, now that we are hopefully going to have our local small businesses prosper during the holiday shopping season, I appreciate the fact that that committee made this proposal while still producing about the same amount of revenue from business fees, a whole lot more palatable for small businesses, because we're a city of small businesses. So I want to again say thank you to Fred and to the members of that committee, and as well as to the other two working groups as well. So I appreciate the good work that's gone into this. We look forward to hearing from you today. The same three options are before us today as have been all along, and those are to do this, to do nothing, or to do something else. At this point in the discussion, if you are in favor of doing this, please tell us so. If you're in favor of doing nothing, that's an option. Tell us that. If you're in favor of doing something else, tell us what that is and how it might produce about the same amount of revenue. Because, again, those are the choices I think we have as a council. I am interested in doing something. What we have in front of us, I think, is a constructive proposal. But it doesn't mean we couldn't improve upon it further based on what we hear from you today. But I think we need to be honest that those are the choices. And if you say, don't do this, please tell us what you'd like us to do instead that would produce a solution for us as a community. With that, I appreciate everyone being here today and the good work that's been done to put this discussion before the council. And I want to call on our Transportation Commissioner, Commissioner Novick.
And Mr. Mayor, I'd like to call on Transportation Director Creek to make some remarks.
Okay, thank you. That's right. Leah first. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Thank you, Mayor and Commissioners, for providing me the opportunity to give, a little closer. How's that?
Better.
Thank you. So thank you for providing me the opportunity to give testimony today. Thank you to my staff and the volunteers of the advisory committees for their countless hours deliberating a transportation funding mechanism. Thank you to everyone who has come here today to talk about this really important matter before the council, and those who have written letters expressing and emails expressing their opinions. Regardless of where people fall on the spectrum of support, this is a very critical and needed conversation for the city. As the director of transportation and the person who spends every day managing an $8 billion portfolio, I know that our assets are declining at a rate faster than we're maintaining them. I know that there are critical missing links in our network and that much of the network itself needs improvements to make it safer for children to walk to school, for people of all ages and abilities to access transit, and to create safer conditions for all modes. We have almost 5,000 lane miles of roadway. Nearly 50% of them are in poor or very poor condition. That's the bad news. The good news is half are in fair or better condition, and the amount of funding that could be generated by this proposal will extend their life at a much lower cost. The amount of funding that the Portland Street Fund will generate will double our budget for pavement work. This means getting more of our busiest streets in smooth driving condition to get goods to market and people to and from their destinations. It also means that we're going to be able to get two-thirds of our streets into fair or better condition in 10 years. It's crucial to keep streets from deteriorating to the level where they need to be totally rebuilt because it is extremely costly. The Portland Street Fund will help avoid $650 million in repair costs over the next 10 years. Yes, at the end of the 10 years, the pavement's needs will still need to be addressed, but we will be able to make a significant difference. And we know it's not just the roads that need to be fixed. Our proposed project listing includes funding allocations to help us keep our traffic signals operating safely, to keep our streets lit at night, make our street signs and pavement markings more visible, and keep our bridges at weight-bearing capacity so people and goods can get to market. In addition to the much-needed maintenance work, we also need major investments in specific safety programs and projects. With the help of the community and safety expert groups, we have developed a data-driven strategy to allocate new resources. Safety on Portland's busiest streets is our highest priority. The vast majority of the safety funding will be spent on high-crash corridors. This includes building sidewalks, creating safer crossings, and better bike routes. We are focusing on busy streets because that is where we can save lives. Portland's high-crash corridors make up only 3% of the roadway network, but they are where 36% of our traffic fatalities occur. So one example of work that we would do would build centerline rumble strips along Marine Drive. Improvements like rumble strips have been proven nationally to reduce vehicle crashes by 39%. This is the type of data-driven approach that is behind the safety improvements we are proposing. There are similar safety gains made by building more street crossings. The project list proposes many locations for new crossings, such as ones on Southeast Division Street at 101st, 110th, and 152nd. These projects could reduce pedestrian crashes at these locations by 46%. We will also make the roads much safer for people walking, biking, and going to public transit. We know that East Portland in particular demands many kinds of safety improvements. So many streets in East Portland are, by their very design, causing a disproportionate number of injuries and fatalities and discouraging people from walking and biking. The proposed project list follows through on the city's commitment to fund the safety projects identified in the East Portland in Motion Action Plan. And I'm also excited about an increased investment in safe routes to school. We will build safety improvements around schools all over the city. We will continue to provide the safest ways for children, parents, and seniors to get to their neighborhood destinations. I am inspired and deeply grateful to all of those whose advocacy, community engagement, and thoughtful planning has helped us craft a plan for making our streets safer and better. And for many of us, this work is deeply personal. I honor that. And I hope that you will agree that the Portland Street Fund offers us an opportunity to make our streets better for all Portlanders. Thank you.
Thanks very much. Commissioner.
Thank you, Director Treat. This is a very different proposal than the one we brought forward several months ago. And I'd like to thank the individuals and organizations who participated in our work groups or otherwise engaged in this process. Those include, but are definitely not limited to, the Portland Business Alliance, Venture Portland, AARP, Elders in Action, the East Portland Action Plan Team, the Bicycle Transportation Alliance, Oregon Walks, the Food Bank, the Coalition for a Livable Future, OPAL, and the Oregon Opportunity Fund. With input from those groups, we've made significant changes to both revenue mechanisms. On the business side, 4 months ago, we had a proposal which said that we were going to divide businesses into over 100 different categories, and we'd send out bills to whoever was paying the utility bill, which meant that in buildings which contain a lot of little businesses, it would have been up to the building owner to figure out how to allocate them within those businesses. That's totally different. We now have divided businesses into 16 different categories that are then assigned to 5 different groups that will pay between $3 a month and $144 a month per location. The per location is important because there are some businesses, like Starbucks, for example, that have lots of locations. There is a discount for nonprofits. A number of nonprofits fall into an entire business category, variety of different businesses, which is inherently discounted. Nonprofits that don't fall into that grouping will get a 50% discount. And the business fees can be deducted as a business expense, and we're going to collect the fees using the city's existing business license tax platform. This is a proposal which was thoroughly vetted and, in fact, developed by our working group and met with the comfort level of the business groups represented there, such as Venture Portland and the Portland Business Alliance. That does not mean that every business owner in the city supports it, but those large organizations representing large and small businesses were comfortable with it. That's on the business side. On the residential side, several months ago, we had a proposal where pretty much everybody in a single-family house, unless they were low-income, would have paid $11.56 a month, and everybody in a multifamily apartment would have paid $6.93 a month, again, with a low-income discount. We heard from a lot of people that we should have a proposal that's based more on ability to pay, and that's what we have now. We have a proposal where, for example, a couple making $50,000 a year would pay $5 a month, and a couple making $200,000 a year will pay $32 a month. We have also exempted people at the low end of the income spectrum. Single people making less than $25,000 a year and married couples making less than $35,000 a year would be exempt. Now, I know that some people have said that exempting 40% of tax filers sounds like an awful lot. I'm personally more worried about the idea that 40% of Portland tax filers are either single people making less than $25,000 a year or couples trying to get by on less than $35,000 a year. There's been talk about the fact that local income taxes exempt certain forms of retirement income, including Social Security and PERS. I want to remind people that was not our idea. The state legislature prohibits local governments from applying an income tax to those forms of income. And I've been in touch with Speaker Kotek saying we'd like to take a run, at least I've suggested that we take a run at changing that. This is a compromise proposal. We heard, for example, from the Portland Business Alliance that they'd like us to allocate 75% of the money to maintenance. We heard from 14 progressive groups they'd like us to allocate 50% of the money to new safety projects. We didn't satisfy either of those requests. We're recommending 56% for maintenance, 44% for safety. The coalition of progressive groups thought that the richest people in the city should pay as much as $200 a month. In our proposal, they would pay $75 a month. So this does not meet the requests of any individual group that I'm aware of. We think that it is a fair compromise proposal. Another big difference between what we came forward with in May and June and what we've come forward with today is, as Director Creek said, we now have a long list of specific projects that are on our preliminary list to get accomplished over the next several years. That list will be vetted by an advisory council, and those projects will have to be approved by council. I have to call out one project that I'm particularly excited about. When I was campaigning for office, I heard from a lot of people in East Portland that they needed frequent bus service on 122nd. And I've been in touch with Neil McFarland at TriMet over the last couple of years asking how can we make that happen. And several months ago, his team told me, you know, if you guys could make some improvements to improve access to 122nd, fill in some missing sidewalks, put in some crossing improvements so it's easier for people to get to our bus line, we can make it a frequent service line. So the projects that TriMet asked for in order to justify their having frequent service on 122nd are on our list. I just realized that I forgot a couple of important things. One is that on the residential side, one is that we are proposing a $5,000 per child deduction. So for example, if you're a couple making $65,000, you would pay at the $55,000 rate. And also, as an income tax, the residential tax, unlike the user fee we proposed several months ago, is tax deductible. That means, for example, if you're a couple making $80,000 a year, most such people itemize. You're probably paying at that level of income a combined state and federal income tax rate of 24%. So although in our proposal that couple would pay $10 a month, when you factor in deductibility, they'd actually be out of pocket $7.60 a month. So those are the points that I wanted to make, and I'll now turn it back over to Mayor Hayes.
Thank you. I have a couple of procedural items to go through, and then I'll call on some other members of the council who I know want to speak. So to establish the Portland Street Fund, we need to revise two sections of city code. In calendar item 1213, we're creating a new transportation code in order to establish the Portland Street Fund. As part of this, we're creating a citizen oversight committee that will monitor and help ensure that the Portland Street Fund stays true to its mission. The committee will provide annual reports to the council. In the ordinance for item number 1213, we'll also direct the Office of Management and Finance to establish a new sub-fund under the Transportation Operating Fund that will be created for the new revenue. This sub-fund is subject to an annual audit conducted by Moss Adams, our external auditor. Also in item 1213, we'll create and we'll amend our revenue code because the revenue division will be the city agency charged with billing and collecting the transportation revenues for the Portland Street Fund. In item 1214, we create that new revenue code in order to establish the residential transportation income tax. As you know, the Portland Bureau of Transportation has some amended documents that were distributed on Tuesday that deal with some of these technicalities. Jamie Waltz is here, in addition to Director Treat, to explain the changes, walk everyone through those amended documents, then we'll take action on putting those on the table, and I'll call on others to speak. So, Jamie, you want to walk us through those, please?
Sure, and we've color-coded them. You received copies on Tuesday, but there's blue copies for you today. These are amendments to item 1213. There are no substantive changes. They're just technical corrections and reformatting.
Jamie, yes. Could you state your name for the record?
Oh, I'm sorry. Jamie Waltz, PBOT. Thank you. So they're just technical corrections and reformatting. Do you want me to walk through all of the items?
I don't think you need to walk through them all. If they're all technical corrections, if I've stated that accurately in the summary, unless there are questions for Jamie or Director Treat on the effect of the substitute, then.
Mayor, is it your desire to have the substitute put on the table before we take testimony, so we would just be putting this before the public?
Exactly, yes, yeah. Okay, any further questions about that? So then, do I have a motion to adopt these amended documents and put those on the table for the hearing today?
So moved.
Is there a second?
Second.
Any more discussion? Then a roll call on putting the substitute amendments on the table.
Novick?
Aye.
Fritz?
So this is simply saying this is what we're talking about today. It's not saying that we're going to necessarily do exactly what's in this document. Aye.
Fish?
Aye.
Saltzman?
Aye.
Hales?
Aye. Okay, done. Now, I know there's some other council members that want to speak, including you, Commissioner Fritz.
Actually, Mr. Fritz, I just want to check with Jamie. Do we need to do two separate sets?
Oh, right. So that was for
item 1213.
We have to do the same thing for the amendments to item 1214. So can I have amendment for the technical corrections to item 1214?
Right, and those are the yellow sheets here, and they are, again, just non-substantive changes. There was a sentence removed that was not needed, and some naming changes and mathematical corrections.
Okay, is there a motion to adopt the substitute?
So moved.
Second.
Roll call, please.
Novick?
Aye.
Fritz?
Aye.
Fish?
Aye.
Saltzman?
Aye.
Hales?
Aye. Okay, so those are now in front of us. All right, Commissioner Fritz.
Thank you, Mayor, and thank you, Commissioner Novick, and thank you to all of the public community members who have worked so hard since May to figure out what might be better than what was on the table in May. And that's what we're here today to hear from all members of the public as to whether or not it is. I know from reading my emails, both from now and in May, that there's a handful of folks who were very upset in May and still very upset. There's a different set of folks who are now less satisfied than were less satisfied in May. So it's certainly a very different proposal, and I appreciate all the work that's gone into that, and also the degree of consensus that we do have on the business proposal, although I know that there's folks who are still concerned about that part, and I'm looking forward to hearing about that. It's very clear to me, having been in six budget sessions with the City Council, plus about 10 or 12 of them before as a community member, that we do need more funding for transportation. As the mayor said, we can do this, we can do something else, or we can do nothing. And for me, doing nothing is not an option. It's serious enough at this point for multiple reasons that I do believe we do need to do something. Now, many of the emails that I'm reading are pretty much based on let us vote on it. And that's what they say, let us vote on it. The question is, what is it? whether the council refers it, whether the voters refer it by signature gathering, what should the it be? And that's what I'm very interested to hear from folks who are going to testify today. What would you like to see in a proposal? What do you dislike in the proposal that's on the table right now? What is it? Because the question of whether we refer it or not is really a different question from what would be the best proposal that it, if voters were going to vote on it, that should be on the table. So I please ask you to focus on that. I've heard several other concerns that I thought maybe it might be helpful to address up front so that you can use your time most wisely. The first concern I've heard is to make sure that the new funding isn't used to backfill and undercut and fill in so that other funding that's currently in the transportation budget can be used for things other than maintenance and safety projects. And I understand from Commissioner Novick that he and his staff are working on making finding some mechanism to be absolutely sure that this new funding goes to the purpose that's stated and that existing funding is not diverted to other purposes. I think that's very important to me. Commissioner Novick mentioned the PERS, the Public Employees Retirement System, and we're all going to try to avoid using acronyms, although I think that the Transportation Department is the department filled with the most acronyms. There may be others that have more, but so the Public Employees Retirement System, the fact that those pensions are exempt is a state law. I'm very interested, at the very least, in putting it into our legislative agenda to ask the legislature to say that for cities over 500,000, that law does not apply. That means it would only apply in Portland, that we could set a local tax. And just so that everybody knows, PERS is taxed for state and federal taxes. It's just the local taxes that are not allowed to be applied. And so I'm going to be putting that question on the table for our legislative agenda. We'll be having a hearing in December. Obviously, PERS retirees have some concerns about that. Since I'm now a PERS retiree myself, I have some concerns, too, especially for folks on fixed incomes with lower amounts of retirement savings or retirement income. But I think the principle for me is that I should be willing to pay whatever it is that we're asking everybody else to pay. And so that's it's been heard that there's a lot of concern about that, and there's certainly a willingness on Commissioner Novick's part tonight to fix that. I've heard that folks would like to have a sunset on whatever we adopt when we adopt something, that it should have a sunset. I think that's a very reasonable request, that if we were to put a sunset of, say, 6 years on whatever is adopted, that would allow for accountability to see how the money has been spent. Obviously, there's going to be an oversight committee and frequent audits to make sure that any money that's collected is spent on what was promised for it to be spent. And having a sunset would require a future council to have the conversation again. So it would have that accountability, would have the opportunity for the community to weigh in again in a more focused way, and potentially to reaffirm after public input that whatever is put in place and to do some tweaks on it if necessary. So that's something that I'm very willing to consider. The budget oversight is hugely important. The Bureau is considering setting up a year-round budget Bureau Advisory Committee in addition to the Budget Advisory Committee that happens every year. As you know, many of you, the Council spends about 6 months going into every Bureau's budget. And even when with that amount of time, it's very difficult to look into every line item of every spending in every bureau. And so that's why I believe that having a year-round Bureau Advisory Committee is crucial, and that there is that opportunity for general public and for me as a commissioner to look at what's being proposed, what specific projects are being proposed. So the list of projects that the Bureau has come up with to this point is a draft list. It gets approved in the budget process. So it's not like speak now, forever hold your peace in terms of getting a particular project in or out of that list. And then finally, the piece that I want everybody who's testifying to know about, I have read a lot of input about the relative balance between safety projects and general paving and other maintenance projects. 57 days ago, my husband was killed in an automobile crash that was due to the lack of a basic safety infrastructure, which was known to the Oregon Department of Transportation and had not been installed because money had been put to another use. So I have a very personal interest in being sure that that does not happen to another husband, father, son in our community while I'm on the council. So it's one of the reasons that I'm very committed to passing something, because I don't want to be the person who's talking to a family member who's bereft because we didn't do those safety projects. So you're certainly willing, it's your right to say whatever you like. I will not support anything that has less than the current allocation of safety projects for that reason.
Thank you very much. Other comments, council members?
I guess, Commissioner Fritz, your statement about Commissioner Novick's and PBOT's willingness to make a commitment that none of these funds will be used to backfill other PBOT projects, is there an amendment?
There isn't an amendment at this time. That's a discussion, but certainly a willingness to have that discussion before we come back for a vote in 2 weeks.
Yeah, we need to settle on a specific mechanism, but we want to make it clear we are not planning to use this to backfill other money. So we need to explore the mechanism for putting that into practice.
So some language will be brought back before the final vote?
Yes.
Okay. And I'd like to hear from people about that. How, like Commissioner Fritz just mentioned, how important is a sunset to you? How important would that kind of restriction be that that not be any possibility of a shell game in which money would come in for one purpose and be used for something else? We have the possibility of adding those kind of guarantees to the ordinances, and if you're interested in that, let us know. Okay. With that, let's start. Get ready to start with public testimony. We're going to start by inviting some representatives from two organizations that served on our advisory work groups, and then move on to public testimony from the sign-up sheets. We're inviting Elaine Friesen-Strang from the AARP, the American Association of Retired People, and Sandra McDonough from the Portland Business Alliance to come up first, talk about your role and recommendations as members of those subcommittees, and then we'll, again, go to the sign-up sheets from there. So is Sandra here or someone from the Portland Business Alliance? Okay. All right, Elaine.
Mr. Mayor,
yes.
One other thing. Tom Chamberlain, the head of the Oregon AFL-CIO, was interested in testifying.
Right.
He said he could be here at 3:30. So just ask when we hit that point if he could be recognized.
Yes, we have him on the invited list. So when he gets here, we'll ask the folks, let him interrupt the flow and come up then. Welcome. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. My name is Elaine Friesen-Strang, Mayor Hales, members of the council. Thank you for this opportunity to take public comment, and thank you for listening to our concerns last spring. The council took steps to involve citizens in an authentic and extended process, ensuring the public's role and voice in government decisions. When I testified before you last spring, as a resident of Northeast Portland and an AARP Oregon Executive Council member, I shared AARP's concerns about the original proposal. We did not feel it was equitable, transparent, and we doubted its accountability. Furthermore, it was regressive in nature. $12 a month for a family living on $40,000 a year makes a larger impact on their budget than someone earning three times that much. By creating the residential and business work groups, you reached out and invited citizens to address these issues. Our concerns were discussed at length from various points of view involving individuals from different backgrounds and expertise. The work group studied the budget and agreed additional funds were necessary. Is this new proposal perfect? No. But many of us who served on the residential work group are willing to make compromises. We realize sometimes that's necessary to get things done. That's part of the political process. We can't let perfection be the enemy of the good. AARP urges you to act now. Implement this plan that will literally save lives. Paving and repairing our roads is important, and the majority of these funds is dedicated towards that purpose. But safety, accessibility and transportation is crucial for the livability of communities now and in the future. There were over 50 pedestrian deaths in Portland from 2009 to 2013. When we hear that a 10-year-old child was struck by a car and killed on October 31st at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, we should be incensed. We can't have a city where people of all ages limit their walking for fear of being injured and killed. AARP supports this proposal. We also urge that you continue to involve citizens in oversight committees to assure accountability and to work towards creating a city that is safe and equitable. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Thanks for your service. Ms. Haynes.
Thank you, Mayor Hales, commissioners. Thank you for the opportunity to testify.
Swing that microphone over a little closer. There you go.
My name is Marion Haynes, and I'm the Vice President of Government Relations and Economic Development for the Portland Business Alliance. I'd like to start by acknowledging the tremendous work that the PBOT staff has done throughout this process, asking questions and working stakeholders. It's been a significant effort on their part, and I do want to thank them for that. Since the beginning of this discussion, we have been clear that we agree with the goal for a well-maintained and safe transportation system. We've also been clear that we are okay with additional revenue, but that the details matter. To that end, the Alliance spent this summer and fall working in good faith to come up with a package that we could support. On the business side, for example, we made significant progress, and the mechanism itself is much improved. However, we've also been clear that there are other elements that are critical to us as part of this proposal. That this be one package that includes both a residential and business contribution. That there be a sunset on the new revenues. That there be assurances that the new and existing revenues will not be diverted for other purposes. And while we acknowledge absolutely the importance of safety and support investments in safety as part of this, the repaving of the streets will... we believe needs to be a priority and a focus to address that $91 million backlog that we keep hearing about. The ordinances before you today do not include all of those elements. Most fundamentally, however, is that we oppose a brand new personal income tax in the city of Portland. We believe there are alternative mechanisms to raise revenues on the residential side while still protecting low-income residents for whom this would be a burden. The Alliance stands ready to resume conversations to revisit and improve on the proposals before you today, but as it stands, we cannot support this package and believe when it comes to something like a new permanent personal income tax in the city of Portland that the voters should have an opportunity to have their say. Thank you.
Thanks very much. Appreciate your help and work on this as well as your members. Again, you have a little bit of time to put a competing proposal on the table, and if you have a specific proposal to offer, I want to encourage you to do that.
Mr. Mayor, if I may. Marion, I had just two questions for you. The first is, in our proposal, a couple making $50,000 a year would pay $5 a month. A couple making $200,000 a year would pay $32 a month. What would each of those couples pay under your proposal?
We don't have specific numbers on an alternative proposal right now, but we'd be happy to work with you after we get through this hearing today.
Thank you. The other question I have is this. A number of other cities around the country have local income taxes. And this last weekend, I started wondering whether the chambers of commerce in those other cities were constantly working to get rid of those income taxes. And Columbus, Ohio is one of those cities. So I just Googled Columbus, Ohio Chamber of Commerce City Income Tax. And one of the first things I found was an article from 2009 that said that the Chamber of Commerce was supporting an increase in their local income tax from 2% to 2.5%, with the caveat that they wanted to chunk the money to continue to go to transportation. So my request for you is, would you mind calling up your counterparts in Columbus and asking them how it is that they've learned to live with a local income tax?
I certainly can't speak for other chambers, but we could look into it. I would also note that different cities in the states that they're in have much different tax and fee environments, but would be happy to follow up.
Thank you.
Thank you both. Thanks very much.
Thank you.
Okay, now let's move to the sign-up sheet and take the first three people, please. Again, we're going to ask you to limit your testimony to 2 minutes because we have 80 people signed up. So go ahead.
The disabled people?
What's that?
We should let folks.
Okay, so yeah, anyone that wants to come early who's disabled, come on up now.
Or parents with small children.
Or parents with small children. Yeah, we often do this at our hearings. If you're a parent with small children and you've got child care concerns, or if you're disabled or otherwise under the assistance of the Americans with Disabilities Act, please let Carla know or come up now, and we'll accommodate those folks first.
Talking about the Disabilities Act?
Go ahead.
Oh, okay.
Just give us your name, and again, you've got 2 minutes.
Oh, Benjamin H. Pickering. The disabilities out there, I'm been on disability since I was younger. since I was 10. I'm blind in one eye. So I see out of this eye right here. And sometimes I'll come around a corner too fast and I'll accidentally bump somebody not seeing on my left eye. And from a distance, someone looks at that and they're like, oh, it looks like he's trying to attack somebody. And I could like almost just run into somebody. It could be just like an oddball, like out of the blue on a totally accident. And I've seen this, I've experienced it a few times where people just grab me and start throwing me down. You're under arrest. And I'm like, I didn't do nothing. I was just coming around. I was trying to apologize. And they get it misinterpreted. And they're like, oh, you know, and they apologize. But like, I had came up here one time, and I'm not against anybody. I don't pressure, point fingers at anybody. But I had been walking by, and I was talking to somebody on the side of the sidewalk, and they're doing the sweeps. A bunch of people came up, and I always give everybody the benefit of the doubt, but the way I was rudely, my day was, it was like I just got my commission from the blind, a blind cane. I'm blind out of one eye. And the officer approached me, and he's just sitting all, with all his officer friends, and he says, oh, you probably stole that blind cane. I said, excuse me? And I showed him my badge, my disability badge, which is disability-friendly, so I can get, you know, cheaper bus rides, and it helps me through my way to the city. And I was like, I have the receipt, too. If you want to see the receipt to the commission for the blind, I just got my blind cane. So when I get tired and my eye gets a little bit blurry on this side, on my right side, so therefore this one's trying to pull and see. Well, I can't see out of this eye. So that's my disability. And he's sitting there making fun of me. It wasn't very fun. And this is for the disability out there and the blind people. It's really tough on people. So, I mean, I didn't get an apology or nothing. He just told his officer to get back in the cop's car. But anyway, thank you.
Thank you. You take care.
My name is Joe Walsh, and I do represent Individuals for Justice. Good afternoon, all. Haven't seen you in a long time. I think, Commissioner Fritz, you missed the question. I think the question is not so much what's in the process is what are you going to do with it? You kind of skipped over the part that many of us are in agreement that we want to vote on this.
On what?
You're asking three people to make a decision for 600,000 people. So when you say vote on what, that's up to you. You present what you think is fair and equitable, and Commissioner Novick thinks this is the best thing since sliced bread, and so does the mayor. So put this on the table and let the people vote on it. The reason that you're not doing it is you're afraid it's going to fail. And that's democracy. You can't say that. You can't say I'm afraid to put something on the ballot because the majority of the people are going to say no to it. I can't sell this piece of crap. That's what you're saying. Three of you, I think, from all I know, three of you will vote on this, and two of you will say, put it to the voters, and I'm with them. You five together have brought me on the same side as the Business Alliance. That is amazing to me. And the oil lobby, if the oil lobby continues what they said the other day, that's amazing to me, Commissioner Fish.
Okay, thanks, Joe.
Just to clarify.
One more point.
Joe, you've used your time.
Would you do these things at 6 o'clock at night so working people can come and talk to you? Why do you do this at 2 o'clock in the afternoon?
I think there's a pretty good chance we'll be here at 6 o'clock. But the commissioner has a question for you.
Well, I just have a point of clarification. This is a proposal on the table. Like other public hearings, it's not a done deal. So that's why I'm asking, what do you like about what's in the proposal? What do you not like about what's in the proposal?
All right, that's what you want. What we want is the citizens of this city to vote on this. This is a tax of $47 million. This is not chump change. This is a very expensive thing. And for you to say to me, well, Joe, you come up with something that's really cool. Are you serious? You got 40 lawyers in the city attorney's office. You got 600 people working for the city that I know make over $100,000 a year. You guys should come up with something that you can sell. We know the roads have to be fixed. We know that. All we're asking is you put it on the table, Mayor. We'll vote on it. Yes or no?
Thanks, Joe. Go ahead. Whoever would like to be next, go ahead.
Jeff Mike.
Okay.
Sorry. Yeah, good afternoon. My name is Adam Quist. I'm part of the Polling Commission on Disability, although I'm speaking on my own behalf. For now, Ms. Amanda, I wanted to speak to you, and you know, first, you know, my condolences for you know the tragic death of your husband. But I think it's a good idea to first state that the thing that we need to all understand is that nobody is, I think, speaking against the idea that safety and maintenance problems need to be addressed. I think the main issue, at least from my perspective, reading the initial the proposal now, and I sent this to Commissioner Fritz, and we've been in contact about this, is I think I totally agree with Amanda on that the safety issue and the maintenance issue gap is very wide. And I'm wondering why that is. Because from the Polling Commission on Disability perspective, we have done a lot of work on safety issues. And I think that while maintenance and paving is important, one of the things we've been concerned about is curb cuts, sidewalks, clear path of travel. So I'm wondering, and I'll finish up in 1 second. And I'm wondering how in this proposal can we, you know, close that gap a little bit?
Okay, good question. I think the project lists, I think there are copies, right, outside of the project list. There's quite a few that are specifically about accessibility and, of course, will comply with the Americans with Disabilities Act on any capital project. We always do. It's, sure. It's the law. But so therefore, every time we make a capital improvement, a sidewalk project, for example, we put in the latest version of the curb ramps that's specified in the ADA. So even though some of them aren't specifically described as accessibility projects, we always include that element when we design it.
Right. Yeah. One more thing, just, you know, to answer you. I wanted to, you know, on the message of Commander Fritz's ask of what is it, if we are available to vote for it, whatever it is, I would like to see a proposal that has a better component of the accessibility and safety project. And I think that would be, you know, something that we would, you know, want to vote for.
Okay, great. Thank you. Thanks very much. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. My name is Woody Broadnax, and I'm with Broadnax Education, and I concur as well. There needs to be a vote. What I understand is this. I mean, since this whole debacle, you have created a community that is suffering from mental disabilities. Everyone in this room should have a mental disability about the fact that you want to charge the people of this community to walk down the streets, to drive down the streets, and other things. Yes, the streets need to be repaired. I was just recently in an accident. I had 3 cervical vertebrae drop down on my spine. and I had to have that taken care of, and I would assume that it's because of poor streets. I'll go along with that argument. But at the same time, what I'm concerned about is the misappropriation of any monies that are designated for the streets. We sit back and we talk about this situation and that situation, but the main focus is we want the streets to be safe. We want to be able to rely on our city council in order to take care of those things that are necessary regarding money, but we also want to know where the money is going and how much money, because recently I heard there was $10 million all of a sudden appeared. Is this money to seed us so that we go and buy into this and then we face a progressive tax continuously? Do we write a blank check for the city, for the mayor, to go ahead and just run amok? I don't think so. I think that the people have a voice, and I'm representing the African-American community. We were pushed all the way to Gresham and other areas, so we don't necessarily fall up under that particular piece. But if it starts here, it will also end up there, and then there will be another push. This fuels regentrification. And so I'm asking the body here, the fine gentleman and the fine lady here, to reconsider your efforts in terms of imposing this progressive tax. I'm calling it progressive because that's all the bottom line is. It's going to move up. And no one in this room will be able to provide, will be able to hold the homes that they have in the Northeast Corridor or in the city of Portland because their taxes are going to go up. And the people need to understand that no matter what decision is made here today, it should go to a vote. Because there are those who are not here, that the gentleman said, should be here, but it's at 2 o'clock in the afternoon. I couldn't raise my community to come out, so I came to represent. We are against this street fee, strongly against it, and we will fight it, even to the point that there is no representation for our tax dollars, and there is no opportunity to be able to chime in a realistic manner that your minds are not already made up. We are not fools in this community. We are not stupid in this community. We have witnessed these things time and time again with no resolution. So, again, I'm saying we need to vote on this.
Thank you. Thanks very much. Okay, thank you. Next.
Okay, the first three are Craig Rogers, Bill Gentile, and Robert McCullough. And they will be followed by Don Gardner, Jeff Cole, and Andrew Nisbet.
Good afternoon. Welcome.
Good afternoon.
I think you're on first, Craig.
Okay. Mayor, commissioners. Name's Craig Rogers. So I attended all the work group meetings as an observer. And as I understand it, this will be the first tax ever implemented for the citizens of the city of Portland that there would be no vote. And not only would there be no vote, but there would be no oversight and no sunset. And to my way of thinking, this is kind of like handing somebody a blank check that can change and go on forever. And this isn't my idea of the golden rule. So I think it's kind of made to look good at the beginning. People are going to think it's okay. And it's all subject to change. Remember, there's no oversight. So then, how do we really know that this money's going to go to what it's allocated for? So I think we can do better. Having attended all the work group meetings, frequently it came up where the subject was a vote, an oversight, and a sunset. And yet what we're ending up with here, those are not a part of this. And like I said, this is not an example of the golden rule. So I think we can do better than this. Thank you.
Let me ask you to, I know you have followed this, so let me ask you to follow up with us on a couple of things. One, there are oversight provisions in the ordinance, and I want you to, if you would, take a look at them.
Do they have teeth?
See what you think and see what you would recommend as
that's
an...
That's the key.
Okay, but see what you... Tell us what you would recommend, not necessarily right now, but tell us over the next couple
I'll be
weeks
in touch.
What you would recommend as an improvement. We have annual audits and we have an oversight committee, but we're open to other suggestions. So if you think that there needs to be stronger oversight, tell us what that would look like. So again, if you've got some suggestions, bring them forward. And then secondly, on the subject of a vote, if we sent this to a vote and it failed, let me put it this way, everything that goes to a vote of the people, I've been involved in this a few times, park bond measures, school bond measures, everything that goes to a vote of the people needs a campaign of people in favor of it. People that are willing to go out door to door in the rain, talk to their neighbors and say, do this. If this goes to the vote and fails, which is, I think, what you would want, I'm interpreting that you might want this
not
to fail.
Necessarily.
But, okay, if this goes to the vote and fails, what's the measure that we could send to the voters that you would campaign for, that you would go out with me in the rain and go door to door across the city and say, vote for this? Tell us what that measure looks like. Again, not necessarily right now.
On election day, here were two street fees that passed by two-thirds. Mm-hmm. And here's a billboard right here. It says, pennies for pavement.
All right. So what were those?
And it passed.
Were they here, utility fees or were they sales taxes? What were they?
And there's some of the details, and okay. I encourage you to look in on that yourself.
Right. So, yeah, again, what was the taxing mechanism? This is a one-cent sales tax. So would you go door-to-door for a one-cent sales tax?
Let's put our heads together. Two heads are better than one.
Oh, I'm serious. I would go door-to-door for a one-cent sales tax, but I don't think it would pass. But would you?
You know, Commissioner Novick said something very smart at the beginning of this. He says, just like your teeth, they need maintenance, and I agree with that.
Amen.
So how are we going to do it?
Okay. Well, let us know what you'd like to campaign for.
A vote for one thing, an oversight with teeth, and a sunset.
Yeah, Duke, no, please, take a look at the oversight. And as you heard, the sunset is under discussion. So thank you. I think, Mr. McAuliffe, you were next.
No, I believe
this
gentleman was
go
next.
Ahead. Sorry.
Good afternoon, Mayor Hales and members of the City Council. Thank you for allowing me to testify today. My name is Bill Gentile, and I'm the chair of the Elders in Action Commission, which you know is a federally mandated advisory council that advises the City of Portland, Multnomah County, and the Department of Aging, Disability, and Veterans Services on older adult issues and services. In May of this year, the Commission submitted a letter to City Council regarding the then-proposed transportation user fee. At that time, we encouraged Council to consider three major changes to the proposed funding concept. One, inclusion of a discount or exemption for low-income residents. Two, inclusion of a specific project list in any ordinance that was passed. And third, inclusion of a sunset clause. As you've heard from members who've been in the work groups, the Commission has been kept updated on the ongoing conversation in the different work groups, and we appreciate that opportunity. On behalf of the Commission, we do support the revised version of the residential ordinance. The proposed exemption of single residents with incomes of $25,000 a year or less and couples making $35,000 or less is a very welcome change. For low-income individuals with little wiggle room in their budget, even a small monthly charge would have a very significant impact. Finally, with the proposed ordinance does not appear to include a sunset clause, which we would ask you to reconsider, we are optimistic that the establishment of a meaningful oversight committee, as well as the dedication of the funds collected under this program to a specific fund, will ensure the efficient and appropriate use of monies in the long term. No one likes to pay more taxes or fees. I can't find anyone that does. However, we are very hopeful that the generation of these tax dollars will save the lives of pedestrians crossing busy streets. Hopefully, we'll provide greater independence for people in wheelchairs and other mobility devices in their daily activities of life and provide long-awaited sidewalks on busy streets across the city. My thanks to the many people who work so hard and so long on this issue. I appreciate it.
Thank you. Thanks very much.
Thank you.
Mr. McAuliffe, welcome.
Thank you. Mayor, we had requested two more minutes. I checked with one of my colleagues, and they'll yield their time to me if you would allow.
I'll allow you an extra minute. We've had a tradition of allowing neighborhood associations extra minutes, and I think that might be good for something in your case.
I'm glad I was out in the rain working for you during the election. Okay, very quickly, Southeast Uplift, the largest of the coalitions, has worked very hard on this. We have been through this. We've been through the numbers. Thank you, Steve. I think Steve and I have exchanged 30 or 40 emails. I've worked with the staff. We have put a lot of time and trouble into it. We were not invited to participate. The public involvement process was not the best. Southeast Uplift has the resources and the expertise to have made a contribution, but we were not able to do that.